Good morning. The time is 9:07. Currently 5 degrees below zero at our downtown studios in Wausau. There is a wind chill advisory in effect until 12 noon today. Wind chill factor currently 25 below zero. I am Chad Holmes. It is hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Again, apologize. The voice a little bit rough here on this Tuesday morning, but very happy to welcome back into studio. Looking a little chilly after the walk over from the Marathon County Public Library, but Chad Daly, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Happy to be here.
Let me tell you, though, you walked in through that door. You looked every bit of 25 below zero. It is cold out there, isn't it?
It sure is. And the wind kind of funnels down 3rd Street as we're walking toward the studio. I felt every degree of those 25 degrees below zero. Yeah, it's a chilly one out there. But the sun is out. That helps.
Man, the man looks for the silver lining and everything. Let me ask you something. On days where it's really cold or the weather is not great, do you get more people that pop into the library?
We do. I mean, we are a considered a warming center or a warming shelter for the county, and a cooling spot in the summertime too. So yeah, I mean that. It takes quite a bit for us to close, so while we're open, the heat's always on, and people can come in and just sit down and warm up for a bit if they need to. Yeah, we do. I would say today I didn't see too many people walking around out on the streets, but if they are, they're certainly welcome to pop into the library and warm up, definitely.
Well, we're now kind of past the holidays now. We're now to the middle of January. Get back into maybe a sense of normalcy. We have always had that time between Thanksgiving and New Year's where there's everything's bustling and activity. As we now go into the normal days of
normal
January.
Things. Yeah.
What's happening at the library?
Well, glad you asked.
Well, I'd like to know the right questions, right?
We're back into the swing of things with all sorts of programming this week and next week. We've got on Thursday, this coming Thursday, the 18th at 5:30, craft program, a D&D craft, D&D themed craft program for teens. We started doing Dungeons and Dragons sessions last year for teens, and it's been really popular, and we've kind of carried that over into this year with different types of D&D programs. So on Thursday, we're going to be decorating a health potion. Do need to register for that one. You can give us a call, 261-7220, to sign up for that. And then also Thursday night, this is a new program that I'm kind of starting up. One of my jobs at MCPL is to plan adult programs for the Wausau location. And so I'm starting up at least once a month for now. I might add more, but bringing in different department heads from the city and the county to talk about their departments, current events, things going on, but also a chance for them to answer questions from the public. And so on Thursday night, we've got Wausau Police Chief Matthew Barnes coming in to talk about what's happening with the Wausau PD and answer some questions as well. In February, we'll have Marathon County Sheriff Chad Billup coming in, and then sticking at least for these first few with a public safety kind of theme. Then in March, we'll have Wausau Fire Chief Jeremy Kopp coming in, and then we'll see how it goes from there. The idea is to kind of rotate months between city and county and just, bring some of our public officials in to talk about things and answer questions and all that. So that'll be going on Thursday night here in Wausau. And then on Saturday at 1 o'clock, also in Wausau, for kids who are going to be participating in the Wausau School District's Book Bowl. This is an annual event that they do, and we also do our own annual event, which is a Book Bowl prequel. So students can come in, get a jump on the competition, we'll have some games and different things. We are aware of the things that are at least the books that are going to come up during the Book Bowl, so we'll have a little chance for participants in that competition to do a little bit of training. That's on Saturday at 1.
Got to have a champion here from Central Wisconsin, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And I find that, and again, kudos to you for this idea of bringing in the public officials. That it sounds like in a low stress environment, just a chance for a little conversation to talk. Maybe find a little bit below the surface for people to find out about some of the activities within these positions. I think that is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, Chief Barnes came in last year when he was deputy chief along with Chief Ben Bliven, and it was a good event. And it's one that I'm going to start back up again. Try and keep things civil. You know, they're taking some time to spend some time with the public, and we want it to be civil and respectful and all of that, of course. But it should be interesting. I'm it's one of the things that kind of goes hand in hand with library, just public information, people learning more about their communities, that sort of thing. So
and that's so important for democracy. And I know, I mean, it's and frankly, that's something that our radio organization tries to promote.
Yes.
And to have folks like yourself to be able to give people an opportunity to learn more, because without an informed populace, you're not going to be able to have the proper information to vote or even anything else. But and I just think that it helps the public officials to have the people know what they're doing. I bet you, in terms of the law enforcement, to have the community know maybe a little bit more on what goes into the job. I just think that is a really great idea. Kudos to you.
Well, thanks. Thanks. And kudos to you and the station for, community radio is not as common as it used to be. So we all appreciate the opportunity to talk about some of these things on air, too. So
another event that I saw posted on your Facebook page yesterday was upcoming again, the Friends of the MCPL members only book sale, which is again for people that love books.
Mm-hmm.
It's always a great opportunity, isn't it?
It's the one chance that people have to buy books at the library, because these are books that have been taken out of the collection or donated. And it just so happens this month lines up with both a members sale, which they do every month. This month it'll be on Saturday the 27th. Saturday the 27th from 9:30 to 3:30, but also at the end of the month is the quarterly book sale that's open to the general public. Mm. So if you want to come to the member sale, you can join on the spot. It's $10 for individuals, $25 for families, and then you have access. And you also have access on the first day of the public sale. They do it the first evening for members only this year, or this month. It'll be starting on Wednesday the 31st. So there's the members part on at 5 o'clock that day, but then it opens up to the general public on February 1st and runs through Saturday the 3rd. So it's a great opportunity. There's a ton of stuff down there: music, movies, books, puzzles, lots and lots of kids books, all sorts of stuff. And proceeds from all of the sales and everything that the Friends do, again, goes back right to the library to pay for, we've mentioned this before, but it pays for all of our programming. So when you come into the book sales and make some purchases, you're helping support the library's programming all across the system.
It's a treasure trove, isn't it?
It really is. There's some great stuff down there. I've definitely found some things.
And that's
there.
The thing. I imagine that folks come in there and they're just looking through different areas, and all of a sudden they find something they probably never expected.
Absolutely. Plenty of surprises in there, for sure. Cookbooks, even. Tons and tons of cookbooks. It's a great thing. So.
And something else. I follow you guys on Facebook to get some information from the library. And another thing that you posted in the last few days that caught my eye was that tax season is coming.
Yes.
And that in this era where so many people are doing things online and things are, and it's maybe a little bit more difficult to know exactly where to go and get maybe hard copies. You had a posting on that if you need Wisconsin tax forms, hard copies, come down to the library.
Yeah, we have received, we're just getting the basics these days, but we have received the Wisconsin forms, Form 1 and instructions, along with the homestead credit form, which which is a big one for a lot of folks. We have received word that the federal forms are on their way, so we should be getting those pretty soon. Again, the basics, the 1040s, the instructions. But we can also, if there are other forms that people need that we don't have, which is most of them, because again, we do have the basics, we can always print them off. It's 10 cents a page. Most of the forms are anywhere from, you know, 1 to 3 or 5 pages. When you get into instructions, that gets to be a bit more. You know, some of the instructions are 50 pages. So it's up to you whether you want to print those. We can, but it's, again, 10 cents a page to print things out that we don't have copies of already. And, yeah, I mean, people go online certainly to do taxes, but there are still plenty of folks, we see them every year, who would like to go the paper route, which is good. That's, you know, we're happy to provide the service.
And we got about a minute 20 left. Anything else on your list that you want to make sure to pass along?
Just a few things next week. We've got a fun one for kids next Saturday, the 27th at 10. We're doing some programming with 4-H, and this is we're going to be learning about LED lights and circuits, so a little electronic stuff there. Quick plug for one that's upcoming. We can talk about this later, but on Saturday, the 23rd, we're having an antique appraisal event with a gentleman named Mark Moran, who's been at MCPL before. This is a chance for people to bring in items in their homes and have them appraised by Mark. He's an expert. He's been doing it a long time. He came out of retirement, and now he's doing, I think, his sixth, maybe, appraisal event for MCPL. You do need to register. You can give us a call, 715-261-7230. One item per person. There's a list of things on the website that you can have appraised, as well as things you can't. So check that out. That'll be starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, the February 3rd. And you can see everything else on the website, mcpl.us.
Chad Daly, thank you again for coming in.
Thank you.
We're going to take a quick break and come right back. Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. WXCO. And Chad Holmes back with you here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. The time is 9:20. And again, one of the great things about this job is the opportunity to talk to some very impressive young people. And we do that mainly on our big high school sports show on Wednesday nights, but also want to share it with you here on this program. And outstanding young lady at Wausau West is Kelly Cray. She's a standout for the Wausau West girls basketball team, who is going to be heading off to play Division II college basketball next year. And Jeff Gress and myself had a chance to talk to Kelly Cray of Wausau West.
Yeah, it was definitely frustrating. I think we kind of had confidence all the way throughout. I know I definitely did, and tried to kind of propel that onto my teammates. But in the first half, I think that obviously, I wasn't playing my best. I couldn't really get free throws to go. But it's just the rivalry that kind of comes and kicks in the second half there. And I wasn't going to let my team lose that game. And I think that's really why I had to step up and do what I did.
Do you let's see. I'll ask this question. When you I've seen situations where things can I want to look from a player's perspective. You know, because sometimes you come into a program, you get used to a coaching style, and then different reasons, retirement, coaches move on, things happen, people graduate, and then you have the coaching switch. Is that ever difficult on the players to switch over, or has it been a smooth transition? Is it not to put anybody on a spot, but is it easy to switch coaches? Is it, from your perspective, is it harder? Is there a transitional period? What do you think?
Yeah, so it's definitely been a transition, but with Ayla Christensen and I being really the only two girls that had a ton of varsity minutes and experience, it hasn't been too much of a big deal for our team. I think that we've been able to move throughout this coaching change with a lot of fluidity, and I think that Galgan's just, she's a great breath of fresh air for our team, and she's really what our program needed. She's super organized and super positive, and yeah, she's been great for us.
And you put you talked about the couple returners there, and you've mentioned, like, I want to take this on my shoulders, and I looked at our teammate, and we got to get going here. Do you put a lot of pressure on yourself to be the leader, to be that person, to be like, I'm going to pick any missing pieces up, and I want to take that role?
Yeah, I think I've always kind of had those leadership qualities and just, like, the desire to want to, lead people, and especially in a team environment. And I've really been looking forward to my senior year. I've known that, obviously, since last year we had, I think, three of our starters were seniors, which is obviously an old team. And is obviously, it's like someone like me who was a junior last year, you're just thinking ahead of what it's going to be like. But I knew I would have to kind of step up and have this leadership role. I'm the only captain of our team, which that does get challenging at times. But also, it's really great to know that my teammates have confidence in me and they just have full belief in me, which I mean, I couldn't lead without the way that they respond to me. So that's something that's really great about our team.
Building on that, because obviously before the last couple of games, there were some struggles. You're facing some really good competition, like at that Marshfield tournament. How do you go about trying to, number one, to, you know, keep yourself the spirit high? Because it's not easy when you go through a bit of a dry spell in terms of W's. And also, especially, as you said, you lost so many minutes from last year's team in terms of varsity experience and being on the court for significant periods of time. How do you go about during those dry spells in order to try to keep both yourself at that level and also your teammates?
Yeah, I think it was pretty reassuring to know, and Galgen helped us a lot with this mindset, but just the fact that we're playing great competition, which is going to set us up well in conference. And like you guys saw, we're on a two-game win streak in conference right now, which is awesome, and I do think that truly is because we went down there and played a Hudson team that was super good, and we might have gotten our butts kicked a little bit, but it's good to get to see what other conferences are like, getting us ready for postseason type of things. But also, it just gives us confidence. When we can play with Hudson in the first half of that game like we did, we played just so well as a team that first half, which that just made me so happy to see. That just gives me so much confidence for our conference and that we can really kind of bring back the domination that we had last year, especially just against these local teams.
Again, we're talking to Kelly Cray, Wausau West High School senior, here on the Big High School Sports Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Let's talk about your game, because obviously, again, with you now becoming the experienced hand on the court for your team, let's generally talk about your high school career. From the time you first joined varsity up to this point, what is the biggest change in your game, the area of your game that you're able to take the biggest strides forward with?
I would say the willingness to score and the understanding that I need to be a scorer. So my freshman year, I think I played 4 total minutes on varsity. I just played with them for the tournament. Which was great. It was a good experience to have. I had a great JV experience. And then my sophomore year, I started the year not starting on the team, and then I ended up starting about halfway through the season. And that was really just me playing a role, getting rebounds, putting in putbacks for my team, just giving them some extra energy. And I was 100% willing to do that. I mean, we had great leaders and some super good seniors, and obviously that junior class was very strong that year. And then moving up to my junior year, it was really, I mean, I hate to say the Lexi White show, but she's just such a dynamic player, and she really helped lead us. Also, Molly Anderson and Kenzie Deaton, I mean, there's no denying that they did their work too. So really trying to, I guess what I've done in all of my years with AAU, but playing with great players is something you can't complain about. You know what I mean? So I did my job, and it's definitely been a transition now, not having those girls, having less experienced guard play and things like that, and trying to take responsibility for bringing the ball up the court a couple times. My guards are definitely willing to do it, but there's times when I'll say, I got this, I can do this myself type of thing. But yeah, I just think, like I said, the willingness to score and understanding that I'm going to take a shot when I get down on the offensive end of the floor.
Also, you have added that outside touch in terms of being able to even go beyond the arc. And one thing that I've always appreciated about your game as one of the taller players on the court, at the free throw line, you've always had a really nice touch. First half accepted last night, yeah. Was fun. But generally, how have you worked on that part of your game over the years? And when did you become, I think, confident? Because you look very confident when you do have that 21-footer. When they say, okay, we're not going to let Kelly Cray beat us right down low, we're going to, you know, let her go outside. You have a confidence with that. When did that really develop? Did it have a lot to do with maybe the AAU ball?
Yeah, I think the AAU ball, I think my future coach, Mike Williams at Grand Valley State, he's kind of encouraged me to take that outside shot more, as he wants to see me doing that when I get to college. Coach Galligan, she's just told me she's giving me the green light from anywhere, which is just, and Coach Dave Klug too, the confidence that they have in me, it's just unwavering. And it's just the support that they give me, and also, like I mentioned earlier, the belief that my teammates have in me, it really, it's what keeps me going when I miss a shot. I mean, when you have to be that girl for your team, it's like, when you're taking 80% of the shots and you're missing them, it's like you feel bad and you feel like you want to get them touches. But at the end of the day, they know that I need to do my work so they can do their work. So really just having that confidence instilled in me, it helps me, it keeps me going and things like that. And like you said, with the touch at the free throw line, that's something that I take a lot of pride in. And my free throws are going, it really just, I think it keeps me going. I think it keeps my team going and it keeps my confidence up for sure. So I was happy to get that going in the second half last night.
One more question to ask, because you talked about having that green light and having, and frankly, you know, for this team, they need you to be more of a high volume player mm-hmm. in terms of taking the shots. Intellectually, going into the season, you can know that. Has it been either more difficult or easier to actually move into that role this season than you thought it would be?
It's been difficult. Like I said, playing on AAU teams where I'm not one of the best players has helped me to understand that, like, possessions can't be empty possessions.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get a bucket, that's almost, I mean, it is a turnover, I guess you could say, and things like that. So, and like I said, just kind of having that team player mindset, it does make me feel bad when I'm missing shots that I'm taking so many of. And I don't know. I don't know if it's been easier or harder than I expected it to be, but I'm really happy with the fact that I've just kind of been able to play loose. I haven't put a ton of pressure on myself. Having a couple 20-point games has been super nice, but obviously then the feeling kind of creeps in that, oh, now I have to start to average 20 points a game and things like that, but I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, and hopefully we can keep playing as a team and keep getting some wins in the conference.
And that was part of the conversation with Kelly Cray after the Wausau East win last week. Going to delve a little deeper into the future with, again, I think a very impressive young lady, Kelly Cray. After we take a news update break, we're going to hear about what's happening in news, weather, and sports. And then back with more of the conversation with Wausau West senior Kelly Cray here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Degrees below zero in downtown Wausau. Again, continuing a conversation Jeff Gress and myself had with Wausau West senior Kelly Cray, standout for the Warrior Girls basketball team, and continue by going a little deeper beyond the current spell, and we're going to talk a little bit about the future as well for Kelly Cray.
Is there ever a difficult transition when you go from AAU to your school ball? You know, because it's just different styles, and there's different makeups on those teams, and people have different roles. Is that easy, hard, transit, or makes you more diverse? What do you think about that?
I think the game overall, the reffing is so different. In AAU, I'm really just a five. That's my position. I'm a back to the basket type of player, just because I play with such incredible guards on my AAU team. But I mean, down underneath the basket, you get hammered and you hammer people. And then you get into the Wisconsin Valley Conference where they're calling a lot of fouls, and it's like you got to kind of learn how you can stay in the game and things like that. And that's something that I did struggle with in the beginning of the season, was getting in foul trouble early and not being able to be on the floor. And that's something that I've realized, like, I need to be on the floor for my team this year more than ever. So I think that I've kind of had to adjust my style of play. I'll have to adjust it again when I get to college. But it's just kind of the way things are. And then, like you said, just with team-wise and how my role is, for my AAU team this past year, just, and I guess the year before that too, playing with Team Wisconsin, we're so big on execution. We're a Central Wisconsin team. We're not from big cities or Milwaukee and things like that, where they just have these incredible athletes. We're not going to out-athlete anyone, which is what my coach Brandon Fanning would say. He says we really just have to execute higher than everybody else does. And I think that that's something that our Wausau West team can focus on too. Harper Mead is an incredible athlete, and we have a bunch of other good athletes too, but we're not going to out-athlete a team like Marshall. They really just have to out-execute them.
You've said it a number of times here in this conversation about getting confidence, feeling confidence from others, whether it's coaches or teammates, whoever it may be. I think people don't understand the importance that confidence has, whether it's shooting a free throw, whether it's taking care of the basketball. Could you, I don't know how to put this, talk a little bit about maybe a time that you didn't have confidence and how it's different than the times you do have confidence?
Yeah, I would say even just last night, since it's fresh in my mind, in the first half, I was getting chirped a little bit by the student section, which rightfully so, I wasn't having a great first half. And even going to the free throw line, it was like I didn't even want to get there anymore because I was just not confident with the way I was putting the ball up there. But in the second half, at halftime, I shot a couple, got them to fall a little bit, and then in the second half, I was confident. And then in my head, I'm like, get me to the line. Get me these fouls, because I know I can do this for my team. So I think that that's just a primal example right there of I put them in and I get confidence, and then really I just hope not to be stopped at that point.
And I was going to ask, for your game, going to the next step, what do you think is the next part of your game or something? What do you want to refine for when you get to college? Because every level, you know, is bigger, faster, stronger as you jump from one program to the next. What do you want to add to your game, or what do you have to do to be successful at the next level?
I would say finishing the ball to the basket. And I think that that's something that not a lot of people pick out as a weakness in my game, just because a lot of times I am getting fouled down there. But like I said, when I get to the Division II level in college, they're going to let us play more, and I'm going to be getting hammered by girls that may be 5 years older than me. And I think that I really just need to have a no one cares, work harder type of mindset. Like I mentioned to Chad at the beginning of this season, actually, when I signed my letter of intent, was that I was going to work on my shooting from the arc and my three-point touch. And that's something that I'll continue to work on, and getting reps and things like that. But I think just like getting bodied underneath the hoop and being able to finish. There were a couple times last night where there were things that I should have gotten to go that I just couldn't get to go. And that's things that I know that I have to be able to execute in college. So I think that that's my biggest thing. Counter moves underneath the basket. There's going to be, like I said, girls that are actually my height and not 5'10" guarding me. Kind of trying to master that fadeaway. Right now I'm trying to work on going into contact so that I can get to that foul line. But using the fadeaway and things like that, I've been working with Maddie Shires. She's actually our newest addition to our coaching staff, and she's just been telling me she's had a bunch of college experience. She started at Youngstown and then ended at Bemidji. But she's just such a great resource for me, telling me things about how college play is. I mean, she's a point guard. She's the all-time leading scorer at Wausau West, so just such a great resource for me to have and such a great person for me to tell me. Obviously, she doesn't have that forward experience, but just telling me how her teammates have kind of worked down there underneath the basket at the college level, at the Division I and Division II level. So that's been awesome for me.
Again, we're talking to Kelly Cray of Wausau West, our student athlete guest this week here on Bull Falls Radio. Let's talk about the university. We've kind of gone around it, Grand Valley State. You said it, Division II. And I know we talked about this previously. What was it, again, that really grabbed you, that said, hey, this is the place for me? Because that's always one of the interesting aspects when we talk to our student athletes who get the opportunity at the next level, because this is a big decision. I mean, at this point in your life, to make that decision to where to go to school and where to compete on the basketball court, what was it that said, doggone it, this is the place I want to be?
Yeah, I think two big things. I think number one is the relationships that I know I can build there. Number two is the success of their program. So going back to the first thing, I just think that I have so many undeniable connections with their coaching staff already. Head coach Mike Williams is actually from Antigo, Wisconsin. He knows my former head coach, Tom Weinkauf, so that's just a really cool connection. And then also the girls, like when I went there, I just immediately felt like I was at home. And it, like I mentioned to you before, it sounds cliche to say, but like when you're on a campus and you get that offer and you're just there, I mean, you feel it. You can really feel and see yourself being there. I went to Grand Valley not knowing what it was, and I came home on the car ride telling my parents that it was my dream school. I wanted to go. So like I said, it was kind of just a flip of a switch feeling, and I couldn't be more excited. The coaching staff has a ton of confidence in me. I'm super, super excited to play with the girls that are in my recruiting class. We've all become pretty good friends already, and I can't wait to be with them. This summer, we're actually doing an abroad trip to Italy. So I'll get to campus June 10th, which is something that's not super normal for a Division II team. They don't really require you to come early in the summer. But I'll have a couple weeks of practice there, and then we get to go play three games in Italy, which is something that if I redshirt or not my freshman year, I'll be able to play in those games, which is just a great opportunity for me. And that was definitely a little bit of a pull in the recruitment process. I mean, them getting to tell me that my incoming freshman summer we get to go abroad is super awesome. So all those things combined, it's just undeniable that being a Laker is something that I definitely am excited to pursue.
Do you want to take advantage of those three games to say, hey, don't redshirt me? Or do you look, I mean, really, it's like sometimes it's like the coach will say, well, this is the best thing to do. But then you think, man, that's a whole year.
Right.
And I remember back when I was young, it felt like the whole year was a long time. How do you look at it? Do you feel like, hey, I would love to be part of it as a true freshman? Or do you look at it as, hey, I can use this time to build my game, build your body? Because obviously something I've talked about with others who have gone to play college basketball is people don't realize how much weight work you have to do.
Right.
I mean, it really is an incredible amount. How do you look at that first year?
Yeah, I think that at the end of the day, it's all just what the program needs. So I'm not totally sure what the freshmen are doing there this year. I know one of the forwards, she's getting some good playing time as a true freshman. I think that it's just what I said is going to be like positionally what the team is going to need. What the coaches have said to me from the start is that at the end of the day, it's the athlete's choice. So it'll be my choice if I want to redshirt or not. But something that Coach Sayers, who's the assistant head coach there, has said to me from the start, from the first call, when he called me up from Grand Rapids and I didn't even know that it was in Michigan, he said to me, you know, when you come to a number one nationally ranked team in the country, you can't expect to get super significant minutes your freshman and sophomore year. I mean, you got to work for it. And the things that I've seen just watching a practice there, it's so competitive. And those girls love each other at the end of the day, but it's competitive and there's a fire in practice. And I think whether I redshirt or not, it's just going to be so great for me to grow my freshman year. I'm not thinking that I'm going to get a ton of significant minutes, which isn't something that I planned on needing to have my freshman year. I want to be a part of a winning program, and I want to win a national championship, so I'm willing to do what it takes to get there.
Does anything come into play? Because going to that redshirt question, you know, if you got a major you want to get,
yep,
and, you know, it might take a little longer to get the major, then you'd be like, I got a little bit of leeway.
Yeah.
Just, do you have an idea of what direction you want to go already and what you want to come out with upon graduation?
Yeah, so Grand Valley has a super awesome business school. They actually have a program that you can get your MBA in 5 years, so that's kind of my plan as of now. I don't know exactly what focus I'm going to do as far as if it's marketing or entrepreneurship or something like that. I know that business is something that I definitely want to pursue. And with that five-year program, people have said, well, you should just definitely redshirt your freshman year then and then get to play those next 5 years. But the coaches have talked to me, and they've said that if I do play my freshman year, they'll find a way for me to be able to stay that fifth year. And whether that's a grad assistant or not, maybe just even getting a little bit of coaching experience as a grad assistant, I think would be super cool. I think that I've mentioned that to you before, Chad, but that's just something that I might be interested in dabbling in the future a little bit. I've run a lot of the stuff for our youth girls at West, and my mom has kind of been the one that's put this impression on me, but I just love sharing my love for the game with others, especially those younger girls. That's been something that's impacted me a ton at West, and I would love to kind of continue to get to do those things at Grand Valley, even in my upperclassmen years.
Obviously, it sounds like you love every moment of being around basketball, but when you do step away from basketball, when there are those moments where you're able to, you know, maybe decompress a little bit, what do you like to do?
Honestly, during the school year, schoolwork. I'm in a lot of AP classes, some college classes, just trying to get some credits for college next year and trying to set myself up well. So schoolwork and then hanging out with my friends. I've been so blessed with just our class. It's really close. We have a great core friend group, and I think that not a lot of classes in high school can say that. And so we've kind of stuck with the same 10 people, and we're all athletes, and we all support each other a ton. We're all good students, and it's just fun to be kind of in the same environment growing up with people that have similar goals and motivations to you. So we're trying to hang out whenever we can. I'm kind of the planner of the group, so it's a lot of times put on me to plan things and things like that. But I love doing that for my friends. And yeah, I think just trying to spend as much time with them as I can. I know that, not that we're dreading, I mean, everyone's super excited to go to college. Not a lot of my friends have made their college decisions yet, but we're all just cherishing this time that we have left together.
And that's what I was going to lead into. The sad note, graduation is not going to stop. It's coming. So what are you going to miss most about the time that you've played high school athletics?
Oh gosh, I don't know. There's so much that I'll miss. I would say just like the pride surrounding, you go to college and you're there for 4 years, but when you grow up cheering for Wausau West, I mean, we have a magnet hanging on our fridge right now. That's a picture that I drew in third grade, and it's like, what's your biggest dream in 10 years? And it was me playing basketball in a Wausau West number 4 jersey. And
did you get number 4?
I did get number 4, yeah. It is a size small, actually, and I might be the biggest girl on the team, but that's a sacrifice you gotta make. But the impression that was put on me by the older girls and by the high school players, starting when I was in first grade and going to those camps, all I've ever wanted to be is a Wausau West High School girls basketball player. And then just getting able to, like, being able to live out that dream now, and now being in my senior year, it feels surreal. And I was actually talking to Galgan today after our lift, and she was telling me, just kind of looking at the rest of the season from a glance, and she said, well, isn't Lakeland in 2 weeks? I don't know if it's 2 or 3. And I'm like, there's no way. And she's like, yep, it is. I'm like, that's our senior night. It's just crazy how fast things are going. But yeah, I don't know. It's just great. And the pride is just amazing. And like I said, having those friends that you've had since elementary school coming to your games and things like that, it's just, the support is undeniable and something that I'm so grateful for.
You are a multi-sport athlete as well. What other sports are you involved in?
Just volleyball.
Yep. And when you look at between volleyball and basketball, and probably more on the basketball side, who is the favorite rival? Who's the team that you like to play the most?
That's a tough one. I need a second to think about that. I don't know. Volleyball's fun. I feel like this year, I grew into my coordination with volleyball a little bit more, and I realized that since it's a non-contact sport, it really gives me the opportunity to be an athlete. And hitting those quicks and things like that, and being able to slam the ball down on the ground and getting blocks, I'm like, okay, I can jump a little bit. Like, when I'm not getting hammered by someone underneath the basket, I can jump a little bit. So that was something that was super fun for me. Being able to get on those conference boards in volleyball was something that, honestly, I didn't think was kind of in the plan for me, and it ended up being. And we had a new coach this year for volleyball, too. So that's been another big adjustment. My senior year, I've had two new head coaches, which is something that I don't think a lot of athletes get to experience in high school. But Jess Hugenvick was great. She gave me a ton of confidence. She gave me great coaching. She made me love the sport. And I think that, honestly, if I would have had not only coaching like that, but just an environment like that where I was able to go out there and be an athlete and just use my height to do what I'm good at. I think if I would have had that from a younger age, I think it might have been a little closer of a race between basketball and volleyball. I mean, basketball will always be my first love, and there's no denying that. But I love volleyball this year, and it was really fun to, like I said, just get to go out there, be an athlete, and play in such a team environment. I think volleyball is such a team sport, and it's so fun to get hyped up for your teammates.
Oh, very cool. Any other questions, Jeff, before we get to our last question?
Go to the last one. Go ahead.
We always ask our student-athlete guests, especially the seniors, about, you know, in terms of what you've learned over the years, and if you have a either a freshman teammate who's just joining varsity or a sophomore teammate who's just starting their varsity journey, taking your experience, what piece of advice would you give a younger teammate as a piece of advice to be able to fulfill everything that they can out of their high school mm-hmm. sports experience?
I would say set and define your goals. I think that in fifth grade, I watched a Stanford women's basketball game on TV, and from then and there out, I decided that I was going to be a college basketball player. And that's not a spark that kind of hits everybody. I think that a lot of girls kind of figure out that they want to get into college sports, maybe mid-high school career, but I think that defining your goals early and being able to do that work early is super important, and then obviously always putting relationships first. Mm. The time that you have in high school is, like I mentioned earlier, so special, and it's time that you can't get back. So yeah, we have some really great freshmen. I'm really excited for their career, so that's something that I guess just advice that I would love if they would take.
Wausau West Warrior senior Kelly Craig, and very impressive young lady. Really enjoyed chatting with her. We'll come back in just a moment here on WX.
Number one versus number one in boys basketball certainly lives up to the hype. I'm Travis Wilson, and this is a WISPSports.net Minute brought to you by NFHSNetwork.com. More high school sports news after this.
Do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? With homework, carpool, practice, and everything else, sometimes you just can't make it to every game. But the NFHS Network's streaming platform makes that a little easier. For just $11.99 a month, you can watch unlimited high school sports live and on demand, at home or on the go. You can watch online or on one of our mobile or connected TV apps. Visit NFHSNetwork.com and subscribe today to never miss another game.
It was perhaps the game of the year in the state of Wisconsin, and Saturday's non-conference boys basketball matchup between Wisconsin Lutheran and host Apeer did not disappoint. Riding a 42-game overall winning streak as the defending Division I state champions, Apeer has been the top-ranked team in the WISSports.net D1 coaches poll all season. Undefeated as well, including a win over rival Pewaukee, Wisconsin Lutheran entered as the number one team in Division II. The visiting Vikings led 26-20 at halftime, and the game remained close the entire way, with Wisconsin Lutheran holding on for a 70-68 win. Duke commit Con Knipple, one of the favorites for the state's coveted Mr. Basketball, was too much for Depeer, scoring 38 points, including 6 made three-pointers. Logan Reinfleisch added 12 for Wisco, while Badgers junior commit Zach Kinziger had a team-high 19 for Depeer. In another key Saturday game, Division III top-ranked St. Thomas More down Kenosha St. Joseph 79-58, with senior standouts Amari McCautry and Sokoa Canoe combining for 57 points. There's plenty of news and analysis to be found over at WISSports.net right now, including a look at some changes to proposed conference realignment from the WIAA, an updated football state record book, plus Mark Miller breaks down the top contenders for Mr. Basketball. This has been a WISSports.net Minute. Check us out online at WISSports.net.
Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Time is 9:53. Sun is still shining, so as you look outside, it doesn't look terrible, but when you get outside, you're going to realize it is cold. Yep, it is continues to be exceptionally cold. 4 degrees below zero is the temperature right now here in downtown Wausau. The wind chill factor continues to be a major factor, 24 below zero. And we expecting it barely above zero, maybe a 1 degree high to the temperature today. So again, if you have any travel plans, if you're going to be outside at all, make sure that you are layered up and ready for any misfortune that may occur as well. Last night, looking at what happened in high school sports, I was in Chippewa Falls last evening, and overtime, Wausau West and Chippewa Falls in high school boys basketball. Wausau West rallied from an 11-point second-half deficit and defeated Chi High 57-54 in OT. Bennett Matson had 21 points. Brett Butala, 14 for the Warriors, who improved to 10-4 on the season. Wausau West will be back in action on Thursday, hosting Marshfield in a Wisconsin Valley Conference matchup that will be broadcast right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Also last night, for the first time this season, Marathon came up short. The Marathon boys fell to a very good Mosinee squad, 61-58. Keegan Jershley scored the final 4 points of the game to lift Mosinee past the Red Raiders. So a huge win for Mosinee. Marathon still is going to be okay, but I was thinking maybe they would run the table this year. That they're that good. Marathon back in action on Thursday. Travel to Athens, and that game can be heard with Tom Weaver on the call live on the Sports 2 stream of BowFallsRadio.com and on the Civic Media app. Again, if you have not downloaded the Civic Media app, real easy. Just go to your App Store or Google Play. It is free. Once you download it, open it up, then you open up Bow Falls Radio page, and you'll see a primary stream, which is live on the air, and then Sports 2 and Sports 3. And on Thursday night at 7 o'clock, hear Marathon in Athens on the Sports 2 stream. The game will also air on a tape delay basis following the Wausau West game here on Bow Falls Radio. Athens comes in to that game against Marathon after a win. The Blue Jays defeated Nakusa last night, 66-50. Also in boys hoops last night, it was Rib Lake beating Colby, 55-50. Stratford over Stanley Boyd, 72-46. In girls basketball last night, Wausau East fell to Eau Claire North by a score of 60-47. It was Marshfield beating Wausau West, 71-50. Merrill fell to Medford, 63-60. Northern Lutheran lost to Boulder by a score of 64-44. It was Wyawega Fremont beating Rosholt, 42-27. Also last evening, Gilman loses to Phillips, 93-33. Coming up tonight, we have high school hockey. The Wausau West Warriors trying to get back on the winning track. It's been a bit of a struggle recently for Wausau West. The Warrior hockey team plays host to Eau Claire North. I'll be at the Marathon Park Ice Arena tonight. A pregame show at 6:50 and the opening faceoff at 7 o'clock. That's Wausau West hockey against Eau Claire North tonight. 6:50 airtime on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Thanks to my guest earlier this hour, Chad Daly from the Marathon County Public Library. Tomorrow, we'll be joined in the first hour, our every other Wednesday visit with Bob Look. I'm sure Bob will have some thoughts on the Iowa caucuses and what that says about the Republicans with Donald Trump winning. And we'll talk about that. Other news headlines as well, plus sports. Bob is the public address voice of the Wisconsin Badger men's hockey team, who have been red hot recently, so I'm sure we'll touch on that. Bob Look joining us in the first hour. And then in hour number two, we'll be talking to Sean Wright from the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation, the executive director, Sean Wright. He'll be joining us in hour number two. So Bob Look and Sean Wright, our guests tomorrow here on the program. Stick around. Coming up from 10 until noon, it's Jane Matinere, Matinere on Air. Then from noon until 2, the Todd Alba Show. From 2 until 4, Matt Flynn Direct. From 4 until 6, the Devil's Advocates. And then at 6 o'clock, the Maggie Dawn Show. So no reason to turn it anywhere. Keep it right here all day, all night long. Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. Stay bundled up. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Hopefully, Ian Welsh will be back. I'm Chad Holmes. Chad Holmes Show, Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230.